to learn how the clock operates, that prophetic clock. If you, you know, you need to know how the prophetic clock operates. We need to know how it starts. We need to know that it stops, and we need to know that it starts again.
Yes.
We need to understand that.
Help him, Jesus.
My dad never even heard about that until
coming
to your class.
So well, God help us. You all are really ahead of the game then.
Amen.
The key to understanding the end times is understanding the prophetic clock. You cannot and never will understand the end times at all unless you understand the clock.
Yeah.
And the clock, of course, is the 70 weeks. The 70 weeks of Daniel, which is 490 years all told. But there's a hiatus in there where we're at right now. We're in the hiatus. And you all are getting that. You all are absolutely, it's getting through to everybody what it means to be off the clock.
Right.
What it means to be off the clock is that the clock is not running, right?
Yes, that's right.
It means that whatever happens does not count towards the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happened in the past didn't count toward the end times. Unless it was on the clock.
Yeah.
So a case in point is for example, in Daniel 9:26, and we'll get to this again in a minute. We'll go back over it. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. This is in the middle of the prophecy of the 70 weeks. After 62 weeks, that's on top of the 7 weeks. So that's 69 weeks. In other words, you could say after 69 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, I think I've got that wrong. That should be a colon instead of a semicolon.
Shame on you.
Shame on me.
I thought it looked good.
It did look good. I thought it did too, but it's not. It's a colon. There we go. Now, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. People who you would think understand the 70 weeks and understand the clock stumble all over this. A case in point is Dake in Dake's Bible. Dake is doing real good with the 70 weeks until he gets to this point right here. After 62 weeks will Messiah be cut off? We know what happened. We know what that was, right? He was crucified. All right? But then what happens? The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Dake says this was the Romans. Why isn't the Romans? Why isn't it the Romans?
They're worse. They didn't do a complete job. They didn't destroy everybody.
They did.
And that was in 70 A.D.?
And the Romans destroyed it was 30-something years later, which did not count.
Right.
And even I mean, you got two things here. There's two red flags.
She's got one.
First of all, you're right, Corky. They did not do what Jesus said was going to happen, which is huge. But even if they had, it wouldn't have mattered because it was off the clock. There was only 7 years to go.
Mm-hmm.
In 32 A.D., there was 7 years to go. In 70 A.D., the clock would have run out long ago if it hadn't stopped.
Right.
But it had stopped.
We wouldn't be sitting here at all.
We wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be in eternity by now. Mm-hmm. Because the millennium would have taken place. The thousand-year reign would have taken place. And the Gog and Magog battle would have taken place, and we'd all be in eternity by now. Well, of course, we're not. So, obviously, the clock stopped, and here's the deal. If the clock didn't stop, this is the long and short of it. If the clock didn't stop in 32 A.D., then every one of Daniel's prophecies failed. Every one failed. He was a false prophet. And because the book of Revelation is tied to the prophecies of Daniel, and they follow in lockstep with the prophecies of Daniel, the book of Revelations failed. The prophecies in the book of Revelation failed. Every single one. If the clock didn't stop in 32 AD, the book of Revelation failed. So the clock had to stop. Now that's you had your hand up, Anita.
There's no Romans around today.
No, there's really no Romans around today. Rome's out. Forget about Rome. We've thrown off the Roman chains. They're gone. We've broken away from... We revolted against Rome and we succeeded where others failed. Praise God. Of course, it's all right when there aren't any Romans around. It's pretty easy to revolt when there aren't any around.
Where do they get that there's going to be a revived Roman Empire if there's no Romans? Excuse me, why would you say that? He's going to raise a bunch of Romans up from the dead?
That's not what they're thinking. That is not what they're thinking. But anyway, I don't want to help them out. I don't want to help them out. Because they're so far wrong. All right. The prophetic clock. All right. Let's go back. Well, let me go a little farther with this. The prophetic clock had to stop in 32 AD or all of Daniel's prophecies failed. With only 7 years to go, there now have been 1,984 years. Not seven. 1,984 years. Obviously the clock stopped. Now we're off the clock. What event stopped the clock? It wasn't the crucifixion.
Pentecost.
It was Pentecost. And here's the deal. I challenge anybody. I may even offer a reward.
That's what I was thinking.
Think
it through, honey. Wait a minute.
My conditions before you accept the challenge. Okay. But I challenge anybody to come up with a defendable and dependable scenario that does not involve the day of Pentecost as the first day of the grace dispensation and the day of the rapture as the last day of the grace dispensation. I challenge anybody in this class or anywhere to give me a scenario that you can defend theologically, that you can defend with Scripture, that doesn't show the day of Pentecost stopping the clock and the rapture starting it back again. Now think about the reward later. I'll be thinking about that. I'll have to be thinking about that. But you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, speaking of defendable and dependable theologies, we've been talking in here, and I've said in here before, if you want to be pre-trib, that's fine. Go be pre-trib. If you want to be post-trib, I don't care so much about that either. Go ahead and be post-trib. But don't be both at the same time. Okay? You can't have it both ways at the same time. Choose one. Pick a lane. Okay.
You got to go from one lane to the other.
Yeah, you pick a lane. Don't take the middle. Don't take your half out of the middle.
I'm gonna ride the line.
Now here's what I mean. Here's what I mean by that. Now, a lot of you know where I'm going with this, but some of you weren't here. You pre-tribbers, and that includes me. You pre-tribbers. Some of you have been guilty of saying, well, yes, I believe, you know, that the church is not going to go through the tribulation, but I believe that there are going to be people saved during the Great Tribulation. Well, if you mean born again, no, that is impossible. It is absolutely impossible if the church leaves to have born again people here after the church goes, because guess what? The church hasn't gone. Because that's what the church is born again believers here on the earth. The church is a body of born-again believers. And as long as there is a body of born-again believers on the earth, the church is still here. Right. It is a theological impossibility to say that the church can go, but there'll still be born-again people here. No, it's not possible. The church didn't go then.
And once that last 7 years starts, the church's time is over.
The church time is over. The grace dispensation is over.
That's why the angel has to fly around proclaiming the word of God.
That's true. That is true. Wow. That's right.
Okay.
So the grace dispensation is over. So there's where, now I want you to say, if you got that principle, I want you to say this. I have a defendable rapture theology. Because I know. After the church leaves, there will be no more born again.
There'll be no more born again.
Ever.
Ever.
All right. Experience. That's it.
That dispensation is done.
That dispensation is over. Never to come again. The Comforter will go. When the Comforter goes, it's over. Because it didn't start till the Comforter got here. Okay? Now this brings
up... He'll come back as more bride.
That's right. That's right. Now here is the flip side of this. There is another theological impossibility that you need to look out for.
Do you want to say first that people can be saved though? Not born again.
That's right. Saved, but not born again.
By election. Make it through without.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
The same way Abraham was saved.
Faith in God. But Abraham wasn't born again.
Right.
You could, and that brings us to this. Because you can't have born again folks here after the church leaves, you can't have born again folks here before the church gets here.
Right.
Okay. You can't have born again before the Comforter arrives. And you can't have born again folks here after the Comforter leaves. Now, in the 16th chapter of John, Jesus told us how that works. Jesus said in John 16:7, he said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you," in other words, it's necessary for you, "that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Mm-hmm. Now, when did Jesus leave?
When did he leave?
The ascension. The day of the ascension. On Ascension Thursday. Get your timeline out here. Let's look at it. That's right. There you go.
In the cloud.
Yes. Such as it is. All right. So you see over here in the top left corner, you see Palm Sunday. That's where it was on Palm Sunday that the last day of the 69th week arrived.
That completed the
69th week. And it also began, that same day began
the last day.
The last week, the 70th week. Okay? So the 70th week began to run. Mm-hmm. And it kept running, and you see over here on Thursday, Jesus was crucified. Okay? The clock is still running. The things that happened to Jesus had to be on the clock. As a matter of fact, you know, Daniel said Messiah would be cut off.
Yeah.
Well, if the clock stopped before Jesus was crucified, that wasn't even on the clock, and it didn't count.
Yeah, but it
would have to happen again.
Yeah, but it was on the clock.
So it was on the clock.
Yeah.
That was on Nisan 14, 32 A.D. Jesus was crucified. That was a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jesus spent 3 days and 3 nights in the grave, which brings us to Nisan 17 over here, which was Sunday, the morning of the resurrection. Jesus rose on Sunday morning, absolutely, completely crystal clear in the scriptures. Then it says in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that Jesus was seen of the disciples for 40 days thereafter. It appears that Jesus was seen by disciples every single day for 40 days after his resurrection. Okay? So he was on earth. Now, it's very strange about the way he was here, because he could appear in different forms. I mean, they saw him in one place. It says he appeared to them in a different form, in another form.
Sure does.
And he sat at meat with some of these people, some of his disciples, and talked to them on the road to Emmaus, and they did not recognize him. And then as he sat at meat, when he had blessed the bread, he disappeared right in front of their eyes. He just vanished. And then later on that day, when the 11 were gathered together in one place, all of a sudden the doors and everything were locked, bolted. And all of a sudden, Jesus just dropped in. he just drops in. He just appears.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yes, this is the beautiful body. This is the beautiful body that we're going to have someday.
Praise God.
Thank God.
So Jesus, you know, he walked the earth, literally walked the earth for 40 days after the resurrection. And he appeared to many of the disciples during that time. Then on May the 22nd here, which was a Thursday, 40 days after the resurrection, they saw him for 40 days. Mm-hmm. They saw him the day he rose, and every day thereafter down here to the day of the ascension. They saw him that day. They saw him go to heaven that day. They watched as he went up into the clouds and disappeared into the clouds. Then you count from that 8 days. From that day down here to Pentecost, that's 8 days. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus was here until Ascension Thursday. There's no possible way that the Comforter could come while Jesus was still here until he went up into the clouds on Ascension Thursday. Mm-hmm. He hadn't gone away.
Right.
He was still here. And when he popped in on the disciples that night, he asked them if they had anything to eat. But you know, Jesus is clever. He's clever. What was he doing? Was he hungry? No. What was he doing? He was trying to demonstrate to them that he wasn't a spirit.
Right.
He wasn't a ghost. He's real. He said, "Feel me. Mm-hmm. I've got bones and flesh." Mm-hmm. He said, "You got anything to eat? I'll eat." You know. And he went around and he breathed on. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that's amazing to me. We're actually going to breathe. We're going to be able to eat. We're going to breathe.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, we can fly around up there in space, you know, and where there ain't any air.
And
that's right. It's going to be amazing. You see, Jesus was doing, he was demonstrating to these people that he was really, you know,
it was him
in a new body, that he wasn't a spirit.
In a new body.
That's right. It was really him, but he was not a spirit.
He was in a resurrected body.
That's right. He was not seeing, they were not seeing things. It wasn't a ghost, but he was real. He had flesh and bone. He could eat if he wanted to, and which spirits can't do, by the way.
Right.
Spirits, ghosts don't eat, you know. So,
friendly ghost.
Yeah,
I'll tell you work, but I don't know
him. Okay. Welcome over to my house. I'll introduce you.
Hold it.
Well, anyway. All right. So. glorified bodies can eat, Jesus ate.
Marriage supper of the Lamb.
He ate supper of the Lamb too, marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah, what's the purpose of the wedding feast if we can't eat it?
Pork chops here at home.
But would he go to the bathroom?
He did whatever he wanted.
If he wanted to.
Okay, so
I don't think we can delete that.
Let's get this down. Let's get this down. I want this absolutely crystal clear drilled in. I want this absolutely drilled into everybody. That there's no born again folks here after the church goes.
Amen.
Something to ponder right there.
All right, because if there were, the church hadn't gone. Okay, it's a theological impossibility. It's also a theological impossibility to have born again folks here before the church could be here. Now, the church could be here only after the Comforter came, which couldn't happen while Jesus was still here.
Right.
So Jesus had to go back to the Father and not be here anymore before the Comforter could come and the church could be born.
Right. That's right.
The church wasn't born until then.
Right.
All right. So it's like two sides of the coin. So we're talking about the birth date of the church. We're talking about clock stopping and clock starting events. These are clock events. The clock stopped on Pentecost, and it will start again on the rapture when the Comforter goes. It's really tied to the activities of the Comforter. The Comforter comes, clock stops. The Comforter goes, the clock starts. Yes,
true. Now, what time period is the angel proclaiming the gospel?
That's sometime during his halfway through the tribulation.
Okay. Yeah, halfway in. It's, yeah, when the bowls start going.
Yeah. That's right. It's that time. You see that John sees this angel flying through the heavens, preaching the everlasting gospel. And I don't understand. If the church is still here, what in the world are angels doing preaching the gospel? I don't understand any of that. Doesn't make sense. Angels are not, the gospel's not committed unto angels here in this dispensation. It's committed to the church.
In this dispensation, right.
The thing is, I believe too, the first 3.5 years too, the reason why they're not being proclaimed is because the world right now doesn't want the gospel. So he's going to give them that 3.5 years and allow it.
Well,
they're not
going to
be preaching the gospel anyway, are they?
Not the grace dispensation gospel. No, no.
It'd be a different.
I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know what they're going to be saying. I do not know.
The good news is that Jesus died.
The good. Yeah, that's right.
That's the gospel. Yeah, now.
It's because of Jesus, but the Holy Ghost is what draws you in.
All right, now let's. This, all right.
Pull them in.
All right.
Come on, guys.
I want to point something out to you. Are we really too hot? Do we need to close? We need to turn the heat down some? Okay. The grace dispensation is, if you got your Bibles, go to Isaiah 61 and 2, if you will, and put your thumb there. And when you got that, then turn over to Daniel 9:26 and put your finger in there. And we're going to look at both of those scriptures. And we're going to find exactly where the grace dispensation is. This is really interesting.
Okay. Daniel 61 and 2.
61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2 said this. This is what Jesus preached. In Nazareth, when he went home to Nazareth and they gave him a book of the law to read, he stood up to read and he found the place in the book of Isaiah where it said, it spoke about him. And he read this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, you see that comma there in your Bibles? Mm-hmm. When he got to that point in Nazareth, he stopped and closed the book.
Wow.
If he had gone on and read a little further, it says, and the day of vengeance of our God. Well, that wasn't what he came here to do. That's part of the second coming. So there's your grace dispensation right here. The grace dispensation is this comma. This is us right here. This is our business right here, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We're not here to proclaim the day of his vengeance. That's not this day. That's not happening now. That's the great tribulation. That's not for us. We're the comma right here. You see, there's 2,000 years in between this word right here and this word right here. This comma fits over 2,000 years. It lays right over 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. It's tripped out.
Now, all right, you got the same identical thing down here in Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the, but not for himself, colon. Mm-hmm. Stop. There we are. There's the grace dispensation right there. Mm-hmm. Then you fast forward 2,000 years, and you pick it up right here. The clock begins to run again. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Yeah. So there you are. There's two classic scriptures right here where it shows the grace dispensation by a punctuation mark. The only thing there, and of course you understand that in the Hebrew, in the manuscripts, there are no punctuation marks. But thank God we've got them in our Bibles. It'd be tough to read without that. It is tough to read without that. But there it is. There's our grace dispensation right there between this word and this word. 2,000 years right here. And here it is again. 2,000 years between these two words right here. There's the grace dispensation. During which nothing's going on. No end time stuff. No end time stuff going on. I love these folks. I get the biggest kick out of these folks. You know, I hear this all the time. Somebody say, well, you know, let's talk about prophecy in the news. Prophecy in the news? Are you kidding me? That's an oxymoron. There's no prophecy in the news. No prophecy being fulfilled now. What are you talking about? Prophecy in the news? There's no prophecy in the news. Because anything that happens in the news is not prophecy. It's not prophecy.